This episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast is brought to you by Zephyr CMS. It's a modern cloud-based CMS system that's licensed only to agencies. You can find them at zephyrcms.com. More about this later in the show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jance, and my guest today is Brandon Miller. He is the CEO of 34 Strong, an organization that helps leaders and leadership teams build stronger workplaces. So, Brandon, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, John. Pleasure to be here today.
So, the 34 Strong borrows pretty heavily from the Clifton Strength Finder and its 34 strengths, I'm assuming, because that's a big, or at least a starting point of your work. So tell me a little bit about the influence of the 34 strengths on your work, but then also your affiliation with the Gallup organization.
Absolutely. We've been partnering with Gallup strongly for the last 8 years. I was really fortunate to find myself in their inaugural class of certified global strengths coaches in 2013. And from there, the launch pad, we lifted off and decided that the partnership had such opportunity that we wanted to make sure that what we branded aligned with the Strengths Finder, now called Clifton Strengths Assessment. And so here we are, 34 Strong, go in and do exactly what you said, try to help people build great places to work.
So I'm sure a lot of people are familiar, at least even vaguely, or maybe they've been asked to take one of the assessments or something, but maybe give us a little bit of background of the Strength Finders and the 34 Strengths. I know that's we could spend an hour, doing a summary of that, but maybe you could wrap it up for us.
Yeah, at a high level, in 2003, I learned about this strength-based approach to development. So in thinking about people through the perspective of what is right with them, where are they strong, and let's position them to do that as much as we can in their workday, as opposed to what was then referred to as the deficit approach. Assess a person's abilities and just keep remediating. Try to get the best result by fixing what essentially is a weak area.
Right.
And I was captured with it. I had 28 staff at the time. I was inside of an organization and my job was to roll this out. And so everyone took this online assessment. At the time they got their top five and we just began to see incredible results, John. Communication more effective, collaboration, and then this language. It gave a language, some words to people to say, oh, you're an achiever. That means you like to really work hard. You have a lot of stamina. Ah, you're a woo. You're a winning others, or you're a gregarious, outgoing. We got to put you out in front. So it just gave us language, gave us a methodology, a philosophy, and turned into my life's work.
While I think some ability to understand ourselves better, as well as teammates better, has obviously got some positive benefits. Do you ever find that it can also be constraining? Just as you started to say, oh, you're this, so you get to go over here. Sometimes that works. Sometimes that's actually putting people in boxes, isn't it?
Absolutely. So we're very careful to say that the Clifton strengths aren't labels. So you don't just need to wind people up based on these results. They have to validate it. There's literally the odds of someone having the same five in the same order as someone else is one in 33 million. So we like to say there's 33 million different combos. And so my achiever might be very different from someone else's achiever. 33% of people that take this assessment have achiever in their top five. Well, we're all going to look slightly different. So you can't just pull it out of the can, but you can find the common vein, right? Oh, well, perhaps this fits based on that. And then it always comes back to the test of, well, does it produce? Does it produce the results we hope?
So how do you find, what are some of the practical ways, and I'm sure you've done this where people have taken it and they all went, okay, great. I know some new things, or I agree with some new things, but how do they use this as a way to kind of strengthen their team communication, productivity, all the things that they really want, right?
So interestingly enough, our primary focus, we get into organizations and spend time with managers. So if we can provide middle managers with tools to understand themselves first, you said it well, for self-awareness, yeah, and then understand, well, who am I working with on this team? And can we integrate more than the language, John, can we integrate this idea of looking at each other this way and positioning people, as Jim Collins would say, right seat on the bus, right? Mm-hmm. And so that really is where we have found moves the organization. We call it the forgotten middle. A lot of managers find themselves in the role without a lot of clarity of what do I do now? Yeah. And that's the real practical takeaway for most business leaders to hear this.
I was the best salesperson, so now I got to manage all these idiots.
And unfortunately, you're not managing yourself, right? You don't get a bunch of yous that you're managing. So you got to actually figure out, well, who are these individuals and how do I make them tick and how do I get them moving in a direction that works for them and the company?
So I suspect that becomes a bit of a challenge for some leaders who maybe in their heart want to do the right thing, but hey, that's a lot more work. Oh, you need to be talked to this way. And, you know, you're motivated by this thing. You know, all of a sudden it's like, do you find leaders are like, how do I keep score?
That's right.
I mean, even if I'm getting better results, you know, it's like, do I got to, you know, because I think the real challenge with a lot of leaders is it just, you know, they got a ton of stuff coming at them all day long too. And now all of a sudden it's like, I mean, it's like parent, right? How often is it easy to go, just do it because I told you to?
Right. That's right. Well, it's this idea that, John, you're going to pay it now or pay it later. So if you pay now, put the extra effort in to know this team member, know how to best motivate them, know in which ways they learn the best, know in which ways they fit the role that you're asking, how much time they require. Or based on the expectations not being met, we're gonna have to pay this anyway in redos. We're gonna have to pay this anyway in unsatisfied people. And that seems to be what catches, because our overarching metric, so our scoreboard, becomes employee engagement. And we want to look at percentages before, percentages during, percentages afterward. Because if we can move that number, if you will, if we can see that scoreboard, we know underneath that are gonna be a lot of the key performance indicators that most owners, business leaders are going to go, okay, now that has the right return on investment. That makes sense. And that's really the business case for where 34 spends a lot of our time.
Yeah. And I suspect if nothing else, you know, just getting people to actually talk about expectations and to communicate with each other about, you know, things that maybe go unsaid, I think, or at least invite communication. I think right off the bat, that probably generates some benefits, doesn't it?
Totally. So the one of the coolest benefits that I think even in my experience back in 2003 was a collegial work environment. Focusing on strengths is it creates a positive vibe, right? Now we're looking at each other this way. And Don Clifton, the founder of StrengthsFinder, you know, he said, I didn't uncover something new. This strengths approach was already readily used in athletics, performing arts. It's something most of us go, yeah, I've done this. This isn't new to me. We're just applying it into the management space. And so it opens up. It's you know, a lot more humor, a lot more ability to say, oh, that's why you're that way. Oh, and those ahas can become really helpful.
All right. So it's February of 2020, and I got this dialed in. Everybody's working together, everybody's communicating. And now all of a sudden, we're not in the same building anymore. what have you found that what's really kind of rocked? I mean, everything's rocked people's boats, but I mean, from a leader standpoint, what's really been the hardest thing in maybe in some cases going remote for the first time?
Yeah, I think the number one indicator of whether or not an employee will or will not engage for you is, do they know what's expected? That's number one. Yeah. And when expectations change, are we leaving it for them to sort, or are we taking that extra effort to say, now that you're here and I'm here, as far as we know, because this had the common phrase, as far as we know, this is what we're going to work on now. Are we clear? Are we there? And then number two, John, was the reality that in a time of confusion and uncertainty and just looking around in bewilderment, remembering that people do well with positive reinforcement. Yep. And if they needed it before the pandemic, right, during the pandemic, take whatever you were doing, hopefully it's at least something, and double it. We call it commending the common. Give people some positive reinforcement, because whether or not you as a resilient business leader know you need it, I promise you the team that you're leading, that just centers, that helps us to gravitate toward, I know where I'm at, I know I'm being appreciated, at least in this space, I have some solid things to hold on to, even if the world isn't giving me that right now.
Excuse me. Do you find that that people do these assessments sometimes and really start talking about what they mean to them? And you know, there's almost a realization that you're maybe not in the right role?
Oh, very, very often. Very often people find out, I think I landed in the wrong spot. In fact, John, I've had them go back to, I think I was in the wrong major. I think I took a wrong turn. And a lot of it has to do with expectations. We're trying to live up to expectations in our life, often the people who raised us, but not only them, our own. Sure. And we get down a path thinking, well, this is the way. This is just what I'm supposed to do. And so that awakening happens, and thankfully there's a graceful way to make that off ramp. More than people leaving careers, though, John, I tell you, the number one place where we watch transition is someone who said yes to management, realizing I'm a really good individual contributor. I don't belong managing. Yeah. That's actually a welcome conversation in the work that we do.
And I suspect that actually happens to a lot of entrepreneurs. I mean, they got into the thing to do the thing, and then all of a sudden it grew to a point where now their job is to manage people doing the thing.
Yeah, and it's no offense to my entrepreneur friends out there, but we make terrible managers. Terrible. We're great at the innovation, the vision, the doing the thing. But one of the best hires 34 Strong made was a gal named Erin Harrison. And I'll tell you right now, just the most amazing people manager. And for my partner and I, we realized if we don't have her, we're not going to sustain growth very well. Yeah. Because we're going to expect of them what we did to build the thing. And that's not realistic. They're not the founders. So it's a move that I think entrepreneurs sometimes get too early. Sometimes it takes them, they're a little late to the party. I think when we wake up to, we realize that is, as Gallup says, the number one hire that you will ever make in your organization. The number one title is who you name manager of your people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's become actually an entire industry. We used to call it HR. And you know, which was basically where you went to get your benefits package, I think. But it's certainly this idea of people ops has become a not even a silo, but it's really become, I think, at the strategic level for a lot of organizations.
Absolutely.
You know, today content is everything. So our websites are really content management systems, but they've got to work like one. Check out Zephyr. It is a modern cloud-based CMS system that's licensed only to agencies. It's really easy to use. It's very fast. It won't mess with your SEO. I mean, it really reduces the time and effort to launch your clients' websites. Beautiful themes, just really fast, profitable way to go. They include an agency services to really kind of make them your plug-and-play dev shop. Check out Zephyr.com. That is ZephyrCMS.com.
All right, so I asked you if people find that they're sometimes in the wrong job. Because you've probably looked at maybe thousands and thousands of these strength finders, do you start seeing patterns where you're actually able to say, that doesn't surprise me to where you can almost start saying, well, you're of this or you're probably going to see this. I mean, are you getting to the point where you feel like you can almost do it without an assessment?
Almost. I try to remain in a space where I can be open-hearted and minded in talking, because people surprise us. People are dynamic and they have ways they adapt themselves to their surroundings. So I try to be open, but we definitely meet personality types and people that you go, well, that just makes sense. You seem to be in the right role, and you can validate it around. And yes, with pretty good accuracy, I could pretty much tell what most of what's going to come up in their strongest strengths.
I happen to have a Strengths 34 results in front of me here. So I'm going to give you three guesses to get one of my five.
Strategic?
No.
Communication?
No.
Oh, I'm going to be, let's see, I'm going to say ideation.
I failed. I completely failed.
I went over three. Tell me your five.
All right. So this may, you don't know me well enough this won't come as a shock, but I'm probably not your typical entrepreneur. Connectedness, activator, relator, empathy, adaptability.
Well, the activator for sure. The activator for sure. That actually is an entrepreneur strength.
Yeah.
For sure. The others denote just a warmth, a people connection, and no surprise, you know, what we're doing. So I took my gamble, and I appreciate the opportunity.
I put you on the spot there, but I'm more of a relationship builder, I suppose, than some typical entrepreneurs, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Thank you for the shot. My team will get a good kick out of this.
So a lot of I personally believe this, you can't really start relating to other people until you have some, you know, self knowledge. And you mentioned that as well. So turning that around, how do others benefit? Especially, you know, a lot of times we see this leadership thing is so hierarchical.
Yeah.
But how do other people benefit by knowing the traits of the leader?
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's four styles to really great managers. And without going through all, I'll tell you the best one. And we call it authoritative management. And it's where you get the best of people and process. And very few of us naturally start off good at both. And yeah. So sometimes just the clues around my personality and what do I need and what do I give helps to align me to know, look, every organization needs to attend to both. You can't have, you know, the people development part of your job without the operational development. So learning to do both. And so when leaders know theirs and their teams know who they are, they know how we're aspiring, how we're moving in that direction. And I feel like for most of us leaders, I think our team seeing us grow and in that mindset that we are always learning and developing ourselves inspires confidence. I want to follow that person. Because they're not all the way there, and they're not looking back just to say, "Hey, I'm on the mountaintop, you know, good luck getting up here." It's, "Hey, here's my hand. Let's go. We're climbing together."
You know, there's so many things that that are brought into the workplace to build leaders and to get communication going. You know, all those kinds of things that we feel as positives. I suspect, and I know you agree with this, that a lot of that work could be done in the home as well. I mean, how. You know, how many people go to all these classes and work on themselves and work on the relationships, and then, you know, they've got that relationship that they've been in for 30 years at home where they've never had this conversation before.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the most empowering and impactful parts of CliftonStrengths and this whole mindset happened in my marriage first. Yeah. It was, if I'm going to do this at work and I'm caught up with this idea, my number one strength is maximizer, I love good to great. I love building on strengths. Well, I better go home and figure that out with my wife, who also happened to be a maximizer. And we both just really gravitated toward this perspective. And I'll tell you, we joke about this sometimes. I mean, we solved a 10-year argument between us, how we looked at things, sure, and how we were raising our kids. And that's some of, you know, any psychometric assessment can help you get there if your mind is open. If you're in a growth mindset and you're willing to be humble and appreciative of others, it's pretty amazing the opportunities you have as you start to apply tools and thought processes like this.
Yeah. Do you work with, because a lot of, we were talking about before we got started, a lot of small businesses particularly are very family oriented, very family run. Do you end up doing some personal work, you know, with family members, as well as kind of trying to get the business on track?
Most certainly have. So half of our company is in the public sector. The other half is private sector, almost entirely family-owned businesses, almost exclusively succession situations, siblings, you know, learning how to lead a company together. So we find ourselves often. I've been in work with some family boards and helped move through some of those challenges. So it is inevitably an opportunity for families to hit some resets around how they see each other. We have long-standing views of who brother was when he was 15, not 45, and how to not carry some of those forward, see the people for who they are now and who they can grow into.
Yeah, it is funny. You know, you go back for holidays or whatever, and all of a sudden everybody reverts to their, you know, family pecking order, don't they?
They do.
So you have also written a book called Incredible Parent. Is that, you co-wrote that with your wife?
I did.
Which is going to be out in, depending upon when you're listening to this, January of 2021. Have you taken a great deal of the work, your experience, as well as the 34 traits and made that a part of this?
Actually, it's its own language. So what we did, we have a partner, his name is Dr. Ryan Darby. My wife and I partnered with him to develop essentially what you could think of as the parent strengths finder. So locating your parenting strengths and how do you apply those? And so that was just an awesome adventure, learning all the ins and outs of how you do that. And then just applying this idea of if I instruct you on how to be a great strengths-based manager, there's some really cool tools on how to become a strengths-based parent. And I'll tell you, personally, as a father of seven, so much more rewarding to see the impact in the family and the impact with those relationships. You know, work relationships may come and go, your family's forever, and knowing how to interface there is such an important part of our leadership.
So do your children ever say, oh, I know what you're doing, Dad?
They always do. My number one parenting strength is I'm a trainer.
Yeah.
Think of that as I set the boundaries. I'm the one that is motivating and moving them into their goals, and I'm constantly thinking about how to develop them, and they see me coming. And yeah, so I've learned how to because we teach, you know, through this book, here's the best part of that trainer, but here's the part, you know, parent, don't overplay this. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing. So my trainer can easily move from this coach and developer to this authoritarian and command and control, and there's a harsh side. And I've had to wrestle with that. Had to wrestle with that natural part of me to move and do the best. And that's, my kids notice it, and they're the best barometer. Teenagers are truth tellers in sometimes all the worst ways you don't want to know. But if you're open to listen, you can learn a lot from them.
Of course, you know, writing a parenting book is putting a target squarely on your back. You realize that, don't you?
I tell people, as soon as you write it, 6 months later, you know you're disqualified. You know for sure. What business did I have writing the book? I just broke my own stuff.
That's right. So they're on the soccer field or the baseball field, you yelling at the ref is just, you know, is going to have people going, oh, yeah, great, great, incredible parent he is. Huh?
And for anyone listening that see me do that, I'm sorry in advance.
I was just, you know, using that as an example, but no, absolutely. But so that book, Incredible Parent, will be out in, as I said, January of 2021. Appreciate you stopping by the Duct Tape Marketing podcast, Brandon. Tell people where they can find out more about 34 Strong and your work as well as anything else you want to share.
Yeah, 34strong.com. You can learn all about how we help organizations build great places to work. And incrediblefamily.com, learn all about what makes you an incredible parent.
Awesome. Well, thanks for stopping by, and hopefully we'll run into you someday when we get back out there on the road again.
Thanks, John.